Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who've heard this show before. I'm glad you're still with me. First-time listeners, I'm particularly glad you've tuned in. I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to another new episode of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time. I'm glad you could join me for episode 029, recorded on January 31st, 2011. How was your week? Mine was a bit melancholy. No sooner did I finish recording and mixing the podcast last week than a friend called to say that one of our mutual friends' husbands died suddenly the day before. Wow, we were all just totally surprised. He was healthy and only 56 years old. It was just a shame. So between that and other things and another foot of snow, my week was a little bit scattered, a little more scattered than usual. Got a pretty good show for you this week. This week there are going to be 7 students in the student spotlight. The question of the week is about how to make a not dexterous left hand more dexterous. The news is about another great Les Paul giveaway by Epiphone. Go Epiphone. This is good news. And the take note segment is about songwriting. And for those of you who are following something I mentioned last week, I should really say I ranted about last week. I didn't really just mention it. I did not make it to Brad's performance, and I'm going to leave it right there for now. I did have the pleasure, however, of meeting a future student and her family. She is an extremely precocious and musically gifted girl who is not quite ready to begin playing the guitar. But Sophia, I look forward to working with you over the summer or during next school year. And guitarists, please remember to keep your humidifiers damp. That wraps up a very brief intro for today. Let's move along to the student spotlight. In this week's student spotlight, there are 7 students: Anna, Arthur, Danielle, Elliot, Julia, Olivia, and Talia. Among these excellent student guitarists, I want to narrow the spotlight down on Anna for a second. She did extraordinarily well with something that is traditionally a great challenge to new players. Way to go, girl! You keep that up and you'll be fabulous. The rest of you are well on your way to fabulous. My advice to you and to all my students and any guitarist listening is think. And that's serious. You don't want to just be doing something mechanically. Think, focus, persevere with the hard stuff, and be self-disciplined. I'm proud of all of you. Congratulations. You earned your place in the spotlight this week. Now let's move along to the question of the week. This week's question came from the parent of a student, and it is, what can one do to increase the dexterity of their non-dominant hand? Now, there are several reasons someone might make this inquiry. It could be as simple as a deficit of coordination in that hand, or it could be that the player is looking to stretch a bit more and gain more strength. I'm going to suggest what I did as soon as I began to play. As some of you may know, when I began to play guitar, I had had a love-hate relationship with the piano prior to my touching a guitar. Actually, I quite liked the piano, but my instructor, who was a world-class pianist and who was at Juilliard when she was a child, was definitely not the correct instructor for me. Anyway, the second I touched a guitar, I knew it was the instrument I was meant to play. My left-hand dexterity was probably better than that of a beginner guitarist who never played an instrument, but it wasn't that great. Because I love the guitar so much, I tried to think of all the ways I could enhance my left hand's strength and dexterity. So I did the following with my left hand instead of my right hand. I opened doors. I dialed the telephone. When I was eating, I cut with my knife in the left hand instead of the right hand. I turned light switches on and off. I opened and closed jar lids and bottled lids, and so on. If you take it a step further, if this info is for you, not for your child, you, the adult, could put your mouse on the left side of your keyboard. You could touch your touchscreen or tablet with your left hand. You can extend the kitchen activities to using a veggie peeler with your left hand. You can comb, brush, or blow dry your hair with your left hand, etc. All these things are to increase response, dexterity, and strength. To this day, I still cut my food when I'm eating with my left hand. When I'm doing serious food prep in the kitchen, I use my right because it's faster and a little bit more accurate. Any extra activity you give that left hand will benefit it unless you are obsessive and go over the top. So I guess this is where I have to do the legal disclaimer. Please give me your attention. Consult your physician before adopting any of the suggestions made here. Do not use your left hand for anything you don't already use your left hand for until you have that medical consultation. Do not sue me if you give yourself carpal tunnel syndrome in your left hand, or if you give yourself strained wrists, pulled ligaments, or muscles, or any other left side of your body injury. Consult with your physician before doing anything to your body that I have ever said, ever, eternally, forever and ever. Okay, so, you know, if you've already seen your doctor and you're not going to sue me, try to do menial, frequently done tasks that require a little bit of more sophisticated motor skills. You know, toss the ball for your dog with your left hand. There are all kinds of things you can do. Think about it. The more you use the hand, the more responsive and accurate it's going to become. So those are my suggestions. Now, here's this week's news. And definitely don't sue me. In the news this week, here we go again. Epiphone is offering for contest entrants to win a Les Paul guitar with a hard shell case. I'm convinced this company wants everyone in the world to own and play a Les Paul, and I don't think that's a bad idea. Take a look at the show notes page to see this black beauty they're showing on their website. The entry deadline for the Les Paul Nighthawk I mentioned several episodes ago ends today, which you probably won't hear this podcast today, so that will have ended January 31st. But if you're still hoping to come buy a Les Paul that doesn't cost you a penny, you can enter on the link I will post on the show notes page to win a gorgeous one with a hard shell case. I have to hand it to Epiphone. They sure know how to keep the public jonesing for their guitars. If you're under 18, please check with your parents or guardians before you enter any online contests or give any email information required by same. It's a great guitar. I hope one of my listeners wins it. I wouldn't mind winning it. I wouldn't mind if one of my students won it. Enter and win if a Les Paul guitar is something you might really enjoy having. Okay, that's it for this segment. Very brief on the news this week, but it's good news. Let's move along to the Take Note segment. Thank you. topic this week is songwriting. Over the past few weeks, I've seen a trend among my students. They're writing a lot of songs. I use this term songwriting rather than composing, not to be condescending, but to differentiate between a purely musical composition and a sung melody with words and accompaniment. In this segment, I'm referring to the latter. I don't know if it's just outside stimuli that's causing this particular wave of songwriting to break out, or if it's cabin fever induced by the weekly snowstorms. Among my students, this usually occurs in waves, so there isn't anything really new about it. What I can say is, if you're a songwriter and you are just beginning, or you have been at it for a while and your songs are similar and not very different from each other, you need some genuine inspiration. Let's face it, unless you're going to play a breathtaking solo during your song, it's not just about the music anymore. Your lyrics can't be trite or immature. Of course, when you begin, your songs are immature. That doesn't mean they're bad or that they aren't worth committing to paper and recording. Save everything you write. I can't say this enough. I'm going to say it again. Save everything you write. You don't know if in a year or two or five from now, the first attempts that you made won't prove to be just the springboard to something great. And it's your intellectual property. Protect it like it's, you know, your iPod or your guitar or something that's really valuable to you. Here's some counsel that I give all of my students who are songwriters, and I want to pass along to all of my listeners who are songwriters as well. Increase your vocabulary. Not everything has to rhyme. But for the lyrics that do need to rhyme, get a rhyming dictionary. It's a great, fabulous tool, and a lot of songwriters use them. It's not cheating. It's not anything. You may have a very obscure but perfect word in a lyric that needs to have a rhyme put to it. Let's face it, you know, we all forget words from time to time, so get a rhyming dictionary. It's a really good thing. The songwriting process is different for different people. It seems like the few camps of songwriting that I am frequently in contact with, whether it's myself or students, go like this. There's one camp that the lyrics come first and then they're set to music. There's another camp where a pleasing chord progression is so appealing that words are set to it. And then there's the camp where the whole song seems to just occur all at once. It doesn't matter which of these you are, and of course there are variations. It's just an interesting thing how people's minds and musical instinct vary, even at very similar playing levels. It's always very amazing for me to watch my students start working through this process of writing music or writing musical compositions that have lyrics and accompaniment and perhaps even more than one vocal part. It's quite interesting to watch. If you are writing a lot of songs, record them and listen to them very critically. I've said this about strictly instrumental guitar music as well. Your computer or recording device of choice can really, really be your very best friend. It is ruthless. It does not allow for any of your mistakes, pauses, lack of timing, or anything. You hear everything exactly the way it happened. It is compassionless. And that's what you really need if you are trying to improve something you're doing, whether it's delivering a speech in front of a room full of your colleagues or presenting something on stage or just in front of a class in school, or whether it's playing your guitar or playing and singing. So you need an impartial judge of your work, and a recording device is going to help you critically pick apart your work. If you're playing and singing in the same key all the time, you better have very interesting rhythm in your accompaniment, or you're going to put your audience to sleep this is a big issue with beginning singer-songwriters. They find the key that their voice suits the best, and or they find the chords they love the most, and that's all they do. You got to get a little bit more creative than that unless your music is extraordinary. If your vocal range isn't the issue, but the chords that you like to play are, increase your chord vocabulary and or use a capo. If you have a very, very limited chord vocabulary, a capo can help you change keys. I'm not a big advocate of having a narrow chord vocabulary, but the truth is some people do. So you really need to incorporate a capo into what you're doing. Phrasing is probably the most important part of expressing a vocal line. Pay close attention to it. If you don't have any idea what I mean by phrasing, you need an instructor who can teach you about it. Your very first idea may not be the best way to express what you're trying to say. Work it over. Change it around. It doesn't have to remain in its original state. You're not selling out or doing something wrong by improving or correcting something you've created earlier. You know, a lot of people, I mean, they treat the lyrics that they write like it's their children, and if they modify them, they're killing them. That's not true. Get it to be the best and most palatable form. Make sure important words in your lyrics aren't lost. Lost either by where they fall in the rhythmic meter of the verse, or lost by your kind of chewing over them in your singing. A lot of people don't have very good elocution when they sing. And if you don't know what elocution is, look it up in the dictionary. I'm not going to explain that to you. You've got to make sure that unless you're doing this just for your personal soul's edification, that you're expressing clearly what the lyrics are saying. Another important thing is make sure someone hasn't already said the exact same thing in nearly the same way. Don't steal people's ideas. And the best way to do that is don't listen to other singer-songwriters' work. Get inspired by people watching, by art, by books you've read and the characters in them or the things that take place in them, by people you know, and things you have done. Like writing a book or a screenplay, the advice here is the same. Write what you know. If you live in Manhattan and you've never gone fishing, you are not the person to write a song about catching a fish in the salmon run in Canada. But you might be the one to write a song about watching the sunrise from the Brooklyn Bridge after losing the love of your life. Write what you know. This is where I have to mention that there's a certain singer who has a very, very, very popular song out. And I'm finding that his or her fans are conflicted about it. Some love it because they just love that particular artist. Now, no, I'm not going to mention their name. But the other huge fans don't like it. It's the only song of this artist they don't like. And those fans tell me that what they think, those fans tell me that they think that what is expressed in the words of the song are not the artist genuinely, and that they can't believe the artist advocates what they do advocate in the song, and they think it's contrived, and they hate it. It's a very unusual thing. It's food for thought. So if you're making up songs because you think they'll have appeal, if you're not convinced, they're not going to convince your listeners. I mean, some may like them just because they're Kool-Aid drinkers, but if you aren't convincing, it may backfire on you. So I hope that that is something, that you've heard something new in this little bit of a discussion about songwriting. I mean, I didn't cover it soup to nuts, but the things that I see are common pitfalls, and the reason why many people who have actually very interesting lyrics or kind of interesting musical ideas don't go anywhere with them, even though they have plenty of passion and even though they really love what they're doing, is usually because of some of the things I mentioned here. So think about it. If you're working on songs, the fastest way is not the best way, and the pure, just the way you jotted it on paper or sang it into a recorder the first time is not necessarily the best way. This is a work of art and a creation, and it needs to be crafted. Songwriting is a craft. It's not rote. And although there are people in the business end of music who have a very formulaic approach to handling singers and singer-songwriters, the creative process is not formulaic. Or I should say, the really great stuff is not formulaic. So I hope this gives you a little bit to think about and that it helps you if you're a burgeoning songwriter. If you don't know what the word burgeoning means, look it up. That wraps it up for this week's segments of episode 029. Let's move along to the outro. Next week, I have some major life shifts going on, and although I'm planning to record a show, I'd say the realistic chance of me succeeding at doing so is only about 50-50. If I don't have the time to podcast next week, I will do my best to post on the Facebook Guitar Technique Tutor podcast page and on my website. Whether episode 030 is recorded next week or the following week, the next podcast will contain the January student review. And no, I'm not moving, I'm not sick, I'm not adopting, or getting a divorce. It's a good shift, but it's a major one, and I foresee that I may get jammed for time. But if we have a snow day, which we are having almost every week, then perhaps I will be able to record a show. So for now, it's up in the air. So excuse me for being on the fence. I just don't know what's going to happen, and I don't want to not let you know that there may be a show missing next week. Congrats to Anna, Arthur, Danielle, Elliot, Julia, Olivia, and Talia for working to a high standard, the standard of excellence, this past week. Great going. Sophia and family, it was great to meet you, and I'm looking forward to working with you in the not-too-distant future. Do more things with your left hand after consulting with a physician, and it will be stronger and more nimble. Enter to win an Epiphone Les Paul with a hard shell case. If you're a burgeoning songwriter, write what you know. Thanks so much if you voted for Bernadette O'Brien at the lovefeelinghealthy.com website over the past couple of weeks. I will let you know if she won in my next podcast. Voting ended as I was recording today, and I want to express my sincere appreciation for any support you lent in Bernadette's favor. I am so hopeful that she won, and she deserves it. I don't know what else to say. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for this episode of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com. GuitarTechniqueTutor.com, and you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please take note that there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me with your questions for the question of the week. If I use your question, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique, or you can join the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com Facebook page. Links to both are on the guitartechniquetutor.com homepage and podcast page. You'll also find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways, as well as to subscribe to the show notes by email or by a reader. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwah, Midland Park, Montvale, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddlebrook, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Tuxedo, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. Calling is best, and my phone number's on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time. Drawing.